Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So we've been talking for the last few days that this whole market basically hinges on Nvidia, which is the micro dominating the macro. It plays such an important role in the whole AI trade. And as we heard from Jensen Huang last night, the CEO of Nvidia, sales are what was the phrasing he used? They're sold out. So we've had massive revenue numbers that exceeded expectations, which were already pretty high. A very good positive jobs report. Can't really take anything else from it. So we're going to explain the position we've been in all week. With regards to support and how prices have traded above and below those levels. So, going into this news event, we are pretty much, if we get a good news story coming from Nvidia, it's going to rally the markets. And if it comes in and disappoints, then expect to see significant bearish moves. And we were positioned to the downside going into that. We'll explain the reasons why in just a moment. We'll have a look at some of the Nvidia results. And now, the complexity really is the fact that we've got another very important news event coming down the tracks. So let's explain this as best we can. And this whole session, as you know, is for us to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. So let's get into it. We'll start, of course, with our risk warning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. Hope you're all well. Great stuff. Yeah, some interesting news last night. All profit traders need to consider which markets to trade. Where do we then enter and exit? So that's your technical trading strategy. In addition, you've got to consider your ability to manage and control exposure. Manage a trade if you get the opportunities to do it. We didn't really get much opportunity to manage trades really over the last week, you could say. Now, we haven't taken many trades, but we did get caught either side of a strong support level, which is I suppose false breakouts. It'd be rare to get so many back to back, but unfortunately, that's the nature of these current market conditions, which are broadly quite mixed. Trend psychology as well. And look, we address these considerations every day in our live trade rooms, of course, and we're strong advocates of trying to maintain a high degree of consistency, accuracy with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital, and of course, be patient as well. So let's start then. Yesterday we had FOMC meeting minutes as well. No real market reaction as such, just the fact that the fact that a further rate cut in December is questionable, you could probably say. And that's pretty much where we seem to be with limited data going into this next FOMC meeting. And what we mean by that is the Department of Labor Stats, the BLS, they've cancelled the October non-farm payroll numbers. So today we're going to get the September's non-farm payroll numbers, which, if you remember, was just at the beginning of the shutdown. And we didn't get those numbers. So these numbers apply to September, and the BLS have now cancelled October. So the next non-farm payroll number is going to be in, it's actually the 16th of December, which, let me just see the date for the Fed next. Was it the 6th of December? But let me just double check that for you to make sure we get that right. So the 10th of December. So we're going to have the Fed making decisions on the jobs number without very little job numbers. So the last number they'll actually effectively get is September's job numbers. So cancelled October, and then November's we're going to get on the after the FOMC meeting. So this is not, this is just a lack of data, which is very frustrating, because it appears to be one of the most significant pieces of information for the FOMC to be able to make a decision. And they've got, you know, they've got cancelled, they've cancelled the non-farm payroll, which I think is the first time in history that the BLS have cancelled payroll numbers. And then things like October CPI and November CPI are very much unknown. So, I mean, this is not acceptable, really. It's not good enough, but it is the current state of play. While we're talking about how the market are pricing in a rate cut, it's not now. So this has swung from 80% to, well, 3 weeks ago now. It was 80-20 to begin with, and it's swung completely the other way. So now it's 30-70. So the chances of getting a 25 basis point rate cut have diminished quite considerably. And the reason for that is probably more to do with the lack of data. So again, with the way that the US administration is running, is depriving itself of the rate cuts that it wants and needs. So, you know, Trump wants these rates to drop aggressively. But because of the government shutdown, depending on which side you happen to blame, they're both to blame, really, in many ways, that we're in this sort of stupid situation. And it's political gamesmanship, isn't it? And meanwhile, the economy is just sort of shifting along, and no one really knows where things stand. So it's an awful situation. But it now appears that the market's pricing in a 70% chance of a pause in December. So just going back to today's non-farm payroll numbers, 53 is certainly a positive. So if we look at NVIDIA, that's really positive markets. If we look at Federal Reserve interest rate cut, that's quite negative for the markets, because, you know, when you drop these rates, it's likely to stimulate, and it would be a net positive. So holding could be a net negative for markets. And this non-farm payroll number, so 4.3 historically is a pretty strong jobs number. So the jobs number hasn't got increasingly worse, like the Fed sort of panicked the markets in September that, we're going to have to start cutting because the job numbers are getting bad. Well, these don't demonstrate that the wheels have come off. Unemployment claims were just sort of above and below 230, so that's fine. This is a tentative number as well. I'm assuming we're going to get this today. And 53, I mean, if you start and getting below 20,000, then that would be sort of further concern on the employment change number. And average hourly earnings seem strong. So really, if you've got this job, the headline number is a little bit weaker than we would like. But the unemployment rate and the average hourly earnings are fairly solid. So you do have to question under what guise do we really need to start cutting rates. And then you add in what the bond yields are doing, and they're doing absolutely nothing, which is incredible. We're not getting any repricing of any of this stuff over the last number of weeks. So it's crazy that that's the case. So just moving on, if we can, just to share the NVIDIA, the positivity around the NVIDIA. I'm going to just click on this and just show you the massive increase in revenue numbers. So we're expecting 54.89 billion in revenues, and they kind of blew the doors off, coming in at 57. So, and look, it's a massive increase from the quarter before. So completely sold out as far as sales are concerned, and that's a really positive backdrop with more Blackwells to sell. a really positive backdrop. And that's really the takeaway from NVIDIA. And what this does is this props up the whole AI trade. It has that ability to literally prop it up single-handedly. Now, this is not a great position to be in, but it is where the markets are. And we've had some indecision the last two or three days, and we would fully expect this price to be gapping higher and then rallying over the course of the day. So we've got some real positivity from the AI trade. So there's elements of positivity, there's elements of concern, and look, this is the bounce. So we were, in fact, it's probably better to. We're still in the German DAX. Now we decided to hold these trades on purpose because of non-farm payroll today. There could be an opportunity where this swings further to the downside, and I might just bring up the NASDAQ. So this has been quite an annoying trade, and sometimes you get caught, and I'll explain what we mean. So we were talking about this level in here as a really, really strong support level for this market. And generally, when we identify really strong support, we'd be looking for opportunities to sell below. And we'd be looking at opportunities to buy above this support level. And I think there was another opportunity to the downside as well. So what we did on a few occasions is we looked to sell below the support level and we looked to buy above it. And on each occasion, the sell trade turned really weak. So these are effectively false breakouts. Now we're going to discuss this in a little bit more detail. And you can see that the rejection of the lows below the support and the rejection of the highs above the support level meant that, you know, we ourselves got chopped up in this trade with an expectation for prices to rally. You know, we were looking for a little bit more downside on this day, but then subsequently reversed yesterday, looked quite strong, got further continuation. We're not really surprised by the positive bounce we got yesterday, but the price action going into it, and what we've been doing for the last week is trading above and below this important support level. So that is that's quite unfortunate. Now we haven't got into many trades. But the trades we took around these strong support, and the same could be applied for the S&P 500. You know, we were quite close to breaking lower, and now we've pivoted and reversed, and rightly so. But we do have this. We do have this backdrop driven by NVIDIA, which is really likely to be quite powerful. So what we can do is we can look into that risk-on trade. We've now reversed off the lows. We've broken above yesterday the 2 and 3 day highs. We're now above the 50 period moving average. So it's likely to rally with a little bit more conviction because of NVIDIA corporate earnings. How long will it last for is quite an important question. We've got this upper trend line just above current higher prices. So we're not fooling ourselves suggesting, right, everything's fine now, because the Fed are now very unlikely to cut rates in just a couple of weeks' time. So we just need to be mindful of that. And look what's happened really with the euro dollar. In fact, if we zoom out, it's been, and you can go out a little bit further. So we've been in this broad-based sideways moving pattern, as we've seen in the bond markets as well. They've been broadly sideways. The equity markets have been quite challenging in terms of trading above and below strong support. If we have a look at gold, it's in our bias is certainly to the upside, but we've had a bit of a false breakout now yesterday. like we've seen pretty much elsewhere. And we've got a really sort of tightening sideways moving pattern for US oil. While we're talking about US oil, just quickly, just looking at yesterday's crude oil inventories, we actually got a weaker number than we were expecting, which is green, suggesting could we get a little bit of a bounce. This is what we were, this is why we weren't really willing to jump into it yesterday below $60, which is, again, we got another opportunity to do it. So I suppose the best way to describe these markets is that there's a sort of a nervousness, and we just happen to trade above and below really strong support quite aggressively, which in hindsight, it's good to know. Do we need to change anything necessarily? Not really. We still want to identify support and resistance. We still want to buy above support, sell below support. We want to try and get that the right way around. And just over the last week, it's just been quite choppy, breaking below and then above and then below again, and now back to the upside. So been a frustrating week from that perspective. And it'd be very unlikely to get sort of four or five back-to-back false breakouts. And yet that's what we've experienced. So, and the point we want to make is, because we've got strong control and over our exposure, they are losing trades that we're comfortable with. We still look to sell below support. We still look to buy if there's a nice bounce to get involved in. We'd like to buy off that bounce, and to experience, you know, four or five false breakouts is a bit unfortunate, but you know, you do get moves like this in this market. So look, we're still going to stick with the German DAX, because if we still reject these highs over the course of the morning, it still has every potential to roll over to the downside. The FTSE, looking cautious, really. And this brings us back to the dollar. So we're not really ready yet to pull the trigger on some weakness for the euro dollar. I think that's fair to say. So we could be quite close, though. That's the problem. We got the UK budget, which is likely to be very significant for the pound and the FTSE, and we'd expect these to be negative correlated. So if we get some weakness in the pound, you know, don't be surprised to see a bit of a rally in the FTSE. It really depends on how the market perceives this UK budget. Yesterday, some strong dollar strength, and now it looks like it's beginning to weaken again. And this is the interesting move, really, which is the strength we saw yesterday in the end in markets like the dollar yen. And we're heading back up to that 162 level where, you know, the authorities and the central bank and everyone around the yen is fearful of this type of move again, which is a rejection. We were expecting a rejection last time around the 160 level, and it rallied up to basically 162 before we saw the sell-off. So we're now 157. We want to keep an eye on the yen quite significantly, because they do have now the inflation that they've been seeking. So they could, instead of continuing to stimulate endlessly, they could look to tighten their policy. But we've been saying this for, you know, the best part of 2 years, and they haven't done so yet. In fact, they've done worse than that. They've kind of maintained their sort of low interest rate environment. And while they do that, the carry trade is in full tilt, and you're going to see that weakness in the yen, which is pretty much what we've seen. It's just quite surprising to see so much yen weakness. Still have question marks over commodities. Let's see how these markets play out around the US markets, and we still have a little bit of downside exposure in the DAX. So from a trade plan perspective, guys, and I'm going to let you guys go momentarily, but it's a bit nervy to say that, you know, the reasons for the bullish indice markets, which is it's a proxy for the general health and well-being of the USA. It's a bit nervy to suggest that these indexes are basically driven by one company and the performance of one company, one massive company, one very well-run company. But you know, that's the nervy side of things, and this is what's causing these markets some difficulties with high valuations and nervousness about return on investment, and some of the debt financing that's going on. It's precarious, and so what would be our market summary? So we've got, I mean, we have to use the word mixed because bond yields, the dollar, you could argue gold and oil are all in a bit of a bland sideways moving pattern. And even if you look at the indice markets, they've rolled over off the highs, but it's been quite volatile around really strong support levels. So yes, we have seen some selling, but when it got to the decision-making point, it suggested like it was going to break, and it didn't. You know, they were forced breakouts really in many ways. So this time, we still have this mixed backdrop, this level of uncertainty just ticking away in the background. So we'll leave the word in, but it's risk on market conditions due to concerns, due to NVIDIA. And it was always going to be quite linear if it was a positive NVIDIA corporate earnings backdrop, then it markets will rally. If it turned negative, we would have probably seen a big sell-off due to positive earnings. And in fact, that's the U.S. non-farm payroll numbers. So we're awaiting U.S. non-farm payroll numbers later today. Okay, so look, we're risk on purely because of NVIDIA. There's very little else to kind of support the craziness of of these markets, and we kind of have to call it as we see it. So look, potential US indice weakness. The idea yesterday was this is all going to be kind of pre-NVIDIA earnings. Same with the DAX as well. We don't really have those opportunities now anymore. With this backdrop in mind, really our attention does need to shift to some more upside for the US indices. Where are we at regarding the dollar? The bond yields are ticking slightly higher, which suggests dollar strength. We're going to keep our options open with it. Do we have gold to buy? That's in a consolidated phase as well. Are we just left with the US indices? It appears that we are. So what I'm going to do in here is just put – And it's only really because we're in a precarious position because the markets are rallying just purely off NVIDIA. And is that enough to carry 500, the outperformance of 500 companies in the S&P? All the tech companies in the US are all being dragged higher by one company. It doesn't sound great when we put it like that, but that's the backdrop to these markets. That's the fundamental driver. It's precarious, but it is what it is, and there's no real getting away from it. So look, if we do end up buying the indices, we're doing so because NVIDIA corporate earnings were good. So it's not really about anything else. So listen, guys, I'm sorry about that. I'll let you guys go. Those of you that can join us for the European trading session, I'll be back to you very shortly. On that note, we'll see you guys shortly. So we'll discuss it in more details momentarily. Thanks, everyone. Take care of yourself. Speak to you soon. My pleasure. Bye for now.